It is often said that religion is man's pursuit of God. It should come to us as a comfort then that Christianity is expressed to us as God's pursuit of man. And God's looking for us, not that he can't find us in a roundabout way, he can find us directly, but God looks to find us as we become ready to find him. It's this great and fascinating moment. It also begins to remind us that the only thing that really keeps us from God is what we put in the way. And it becomes the question, what is it that we're putting between us and God? I think about people like Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, at some point in his life, decided he needed a job. The tax collector position was open. And he decided, despite knowing that it would make him unpopular, even hated, he was ready to take a job that he knew would provide for him. And he allowed it to become a block between him and God. And not only that, but he used his position to become a wealthy man. And he used his position to become chief tax collector in the town the size of Jericho. That's no small task. So he climbed the rank. He allowed this block between him and God to go bigger and bigger. And he wasn't a tall man to begin with, so it doesn't take much to make it so that he's fully blocked out for he can't see God at all. He's a man of large intentions, but small reality. He's a man with big dreams, but not a big shoe size. He's a man who wanted more than anything to reach for the stars, but I think he had a hard enough time just trying to climb the sycamore tree, let alone anything bigger. The fascinating thing about him, though, is he doesn't see God right away. He allows this block to get further and further in his way. He allows us to separate himself further and further from God, always telling himself that he'll get to it later, or somehow he'll address it in some other way. We keep trying to chase other things, thinking that they'll satisfy this disharmony within us, this restlessness within us. He tries to climb the position where he is. He becomes chief tax collector. Maybe that'll address the disappointment, the frustration, the empty feeling that he has inside. He makes himself a wealthy man. He takes away any concern he might have for material need. He establishes himself in all of these things, and yet it still doesn't answer the big challenge that he needs God in his life. He needs God, and he knows it, and he can't find it. And no amount of chasing everything else will quench his desire to pursue God. We still need God. And so he's blind. It's keeping him from God. And only when he's ready to try and overcome anything that's keeping him from God. Only when he's willing to surrender even the possibility of surrendering some of his dignity by being willing to be the adult who climbs up into a sycamore tree, which is no small task. I don't know if you ever tried to climb one of the local sycamores. It's something serious here. He's willing to compromise his position as chief tax collector to appear a little silly in his pursuit for God. He's willing to surrender his very dignity of the people around him who just think that he is a sinner, not even worthy of being saved, and yet he's still willing to pursue God. He's willing to look past every block that might keep him from God. And he climbs this tree and he crosses over, and there he is on the branch. He's literally out on a limb for God. And God finds him. Zacchaeus makes his way to the tree, he gets up onto the branch, and it's Jesus who actually finds him, and he speaks to him, even before Zacchaeus can read him. Jesus says to him, he says, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house. And here's the fascinating moment. Even as God is reaching out to Zacchaeus, even as God has made this invitation, even as God himself has extended this offer, do the people around him say, wow, look at that, even Zacchaeus can be saved? Do they say, behold, look at the promise of salvation can come even to the greatest of sinners? Or instead do they say, man, that Jesus guy's a real idiot. I mean, look at him. He's so stupid, he's going to try and go over to a sinner's house. Doesn't he know? Sin runs off on people. I mean, come on, if he goes to a sinner's house, then he'll be a sinner too. Isn't that how it works? Isn't it a contagious disease? We immediately write him off. God has offered salvation to Zacchaeus. He says, today I'm going to stay at your house. He's ready to receive him with joy. And the people throw him under the bus. Well, maybe Jesus isn't as holy as we thought he was. You know, he's going to go stay at that house with sinners. It's all over. Zacchaeus is willing to surrender even further. In his pursuit of God, he will not let any obstacle stand in his way now. He says, half my possessions I'll give to the poor. If you think it's wealth that's keeping me from God, I'll get rid of some of that. If I've cheated anyone, I'll pay them fourfold. Mosaic law, if you stole a sheep, you had to give that person four sheep. Always sounds a little more awkward when I say it out loud because sheep has no plural. But when you stole one sheep, you had to restore four sheep. He's saying, if I cheated somebody, I will restore them fourfold. He says, I'll fulfill the Mosaic law for theft. If that's what it takes. It's this great reminder. It's this powerful moment. I keep coming back to it. And he asks, what is it that's keeping us from God? In our pursuit of God and our willingness to find God, what is the obstacle that we're allowing to keep us from God? Is it our pride? Is it our desire for some kind of dignity that we think we deserve? Is it our insistence that we have to be right? What's keeping us from God? You know, there was a time in my life, I remember my older brother got in a big fight with my parents, and as part of the discussion, let's say it's a really nice way, as part of the discussion, they told him to go for a walk. It was about a 10-mile walk, but that's really not the point of the story. They told him to go for a walk, and after he realized that he was wrong, and he realized that he needed to admit that he was wrong, and he realized that he had to surrender his position, instead of going back inside the house, he stood on the front porch and weighed his options. I want you to remember that weighing options meant living in my parents' house, an underage teenager, or living on the porch for the rest of his life. So, you know, he's weighing his options. And I still remember asking him later, I said, why did you wait 45 minutes on the porch? And he said to me, well, going inside my mom and dad was right. And I wasn't ready to admit that. And I thought, really? Admitting that your parents were right, you were willing to stand outside in the cold? Just because you weren't willing to admit you were wrong. My brother actually said to me, he said, I didn't say it was a smart move. What's keeping us from God? Is it our own sinfulness? Is that I need to have our own way? You know, for Zacchaeus, it finally came down to a point where it was literally the sycamore tree that was keeping him from God, and at that point he was willing to surrender everything. Wealth, establishment, his position, his dignity, everything. He was willing to give up everything to find God, and it's in that moment when he's willing to surrender everything that God actually finds him. What is it that's keeping us? Is it our position? More and more this year, I've seen many funerals. And as I speak to people in preparation for the funeral, you know, I speak to them and they talk about how they used to go to church. And I always end up asking the question, why is it always used to? And eventually I'll get a condescending smile. Oh, Father, the church just doesn't understand why. And there'll be some reason. The church doesn't understand my marriage. The church doesn't understand my position on social issues. The church doesn't understand my concern about how they treat certain things. If given the opportunity, I will ask the question I want to ask. Will you enlighten me? 100% of the time, they always look me in the eye and go, no. And I'm torn. Because my question then becomes, what's keeping us from God? Because at a certain point, it really does come down to, what are we doing that's keeping us from God? And bear in mind, we can see it as a justified position. I'm not always necessarily pointing to a sinful behavior. We might insist that we have our justified position and that clearly we can stand in the right because we know that we're right and therefore God has to come around to us. But that's not how it works. I leave you with this reflection. There's a letter that's being read at another parish in our diocese this weekend. One of the priests who was ordained in 2012 has taken a turn for the worse in his leukemia. And he probably won't live to see his 5th-year anniversary as a priest. And he writes a letter to his parishioners. He wrote a letter that said that God wanted him to be a priest. And God pursued him. And he ran away. And he became a teacher. And he was a good teacher. And a good man. Not a sinful man. No one threw him out. No one despised him or looked down on him. Oh, he's a sinner. No, he was a teacher. He was a good teacher. And he taught for 20 plus years. And at the ripe old age of 46, he realized that he had been running away from a vocation to priesthood for over 20 years himself. And he finally realized that he probably shouldn't let these things keep him from God. So he pursued to become a priest. But the problem is when you're 46, most places won't take you. He finally found that in Rockford they would take him. In 2007, he entered the seminary. In 2012, he was ordained. And then in 2015, he had leukemia. He realized he spent so much of his life running away from God that he could have had a whole lot more years in pursuit of his priesthood. If he stopped putting his own obstacles in the way with God. And I'm not talking about sinful behavior. I'm talking about a good man who did a good thing. I mean, teachers are great jobs. I mean, it's a very noble profession. But it kept him from God because he knew he was supposed to do something different. And instead decided to pursue his own will instead. I ask you genuinely, as we come to this time of the year, as we're preparing for so many things, to ask yourself, what's keeping you from God? What's keeping you from a life with Christ? Is it our pride? Is it our vanity? Or are we willing to surrender it all and step beyond those things that we insist have to be our way? Climb the sycamore tree. Look for God. And you might be surprised at just how quickly He finds you.